Hi, and welcome back to the Childhood Development Initiative's Restorative Practice podcast, where we talk all things RP. For this second season, we resume visiting communities and organisations to collect stories from practitioners around Ireland. We talk to young people, teachers, lecturers, youth and community workers, and restorative practices trainers to gather their insights on the impact of RP in their life and work. Each episode is focusing either on a place with several voices or on a practitioner. If you are not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative approach, the restorative questions, and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of season one of our podcast series where it is all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danyu, Restorative Practice Quality Specialist for CDI. This episode is an epilogue for the two seasons I have spent traveling around Ireland to meet with practitioners. And first, I want to thank CDI and especially Claire Casey for giving me this opportunity. It was a very rewarding and interesting experience. And I really want to express deep gratitude to Claire for trusting me and giving me space and freedom to do it the best I could. So if I remember well, the idea was first that I write case studies and produce some videos. Then we moved to the idea of podcasts because they are so accessible. People can listen to them easily in their daily life. And I have to say, I was a bit intimidated by the piece of work at the beginning for various reasons. Maybe the first one is because I'm not a native speaker. And it's really obvious. You've probably noticed that, like many French speakers, I miss a lot of S's in my wording. And sometimes it's painful to re-listen to myself. And maybe it was all the more intimidating that it's a field where most practitioners are native speaker, education and community work. I actually had the idea for this season to do an episode around RP and multiculturalism, how RP can enhance understanding between cultures and promote anti-racist or anti-xenophobic approaches, foster inclusion. And I didn't in the end because I couldn't find suitable participants. It doesn't mean that nothing is happening in that area. There is, for example, the Ubuntu project in Blanchardstones where Gardaí are engaging with Black young people. But it was not possible to interview them because of confidentiality. And I'll give a link to that project in the description. Then also, I was intimidated because I listened to a lot of French radio in my youth and had high standards in terms of what I thought a podcast should look like. I had to let go of some of that as it was not the focus for this piece of work to produce jewels of a field journalism like the one I used to listen to. Amy in the podcast studio did a wonderful job producing the pieces you listen to, despite sometimes the quality of my recording and my messy instructions. So it was a privilege working with her too. I try to engage in the work the most restoratively and fairly possible. The idea was to do a podcast about RP in a restorative way, and I hope participants in the podcast felt they were treated fairly. It's probably even truer for the second season when constraints linked to COVID were gone and I knew better how to do it. So for almost every episode, I first had the chat with the people I wanted to interview and we would agree on the focus of the interview. Then I would send questions so that people could prepare in advance if they wish. We would record, I would re-listen to the recordings and make decisions for the editing process. Then the amazing Amy in the podcast studio would edit and polish the piece, and then I will send it to the participant for final approval. So anything that was released has been approved by whoever is speaking. And I want also to express my gratitude to all the participants in this podcast for their trust and for engaging in such an honest and meaningful way. I have to say it's quite a privilege to have listened to all the practitioner I got to talk to. I am humbled by their commitment, creativity, generosity, and care. They deeply care about the people they work or engage with and are trying to breathe life meaningfully to their values of kindness and respect. they do have an impact on the people around them, as you can hear in some of the podcasts. I wish I had talked to more young people in this season and more service users, if I can say. I don't like the expression, but it didn't happen, mostly because of logistics and the difficulty of gathering different people in a room in the very busy time that this post-COVID period seems to have been for everybody. So I also want to highlight a few learnings from the experience. Maybe they are obvious for those who listen to the full two seasons and are immersed in this work. I think a thesis could be written on all that. So I'm only focusing on some elements. So the first one, maybe it's a cliche, but engaging in restorative practices is a journey, a collective and an individual one. And it's a constant work in progress. So the episodes looking at whole school, whole campus, whole organization implementation illustrate this. So like the one on Oberstdorf's Karriktun Primary School, Fee House Educate Together, the Democratic School in Wicklow, or St. Hilton's, and Belvedere Youth Club in this season. There is not one way of implementing RP, and it seems that the most important is to foster reflection, adaptation, creativity, to be patient and persistent, and to make it a collective opportunity for growth, learning, and connection. And the journey sometimes stops at different stages, depending on the organization, and it's okay. And at an individual level, it's a bit the same. People have very different journeys, approaches, and story. I have to say, maybe on a personal note, I could relate more to people who were completely transformed by RP. A good few practitioners shared that RP gave them a framework or gave a framework to what they were already doing. Some others, and I would be part of that group, had to come a long, long way to be able to embrace restorative approaches. And I always found this process very moving. So I'm thinking of James in the Belvedere Youth Club episode and of the teachers who spoke in the two seasons. I was also moved by what Becky shared about her fear of the recording. She was saying, like, you know, it's like writing in stone the things that she said that day, and she might see them very differently in a few months. So I completely relate to this, and there are things that I said in season one or framed in season one in some ways that I don't agree with anymore. I'm also very aware that each journey is unique, and each individual had their own way of connecting and interacting with the concepts, the value, and the processes. There are many examples in the podcast. So, for example, Claire in season one sharing that RP first supported her in dealing with conflict instead of avoiding them. James explaining his own journey towards accountability. Brian sharing his epiphany around the importance of the relationship he needed to have with students before anything else, and many others. It made me reflect on my own journey and its cultural elements. And it's true that for me, first conflicts used to be fights I needed to win. I first understood the idea of a win-win, that there could be solutions where all could get what they need. And then I was really attached to the processes, because they were, you know, a kind of great support for me to avoid trying to fight. And I moved to a more holistic approach about how I related to everybody later. So it's really work in progress. There are still situations where I feel I come back to square one and to the fight mode. So yes, really, the first point, it's a journey, it's work in progress. So the second point I wanted to emphasize is that it's very vulnerable work. So in both seasons, And specifically when people are telling stories of restorative processes they went through or of specific relationships, people were emotional. And I'd listen to them and be emotional too. And there was a lot of vulnerability and emotions in the room. And I'm not sure people can hear that in the podcast. RP touches on really meaningful, deep feelings we have for fellow human beings. It touches on our cravings for care and love for each other and our yearnings for peace and connection. So maybe a last point, because I could talk forever. It may be even more aware of the constant tension to navigate between the restorative mindset and the institution. There is something very anti-institution in RP, and the image of trying to fit a circle in a square came back a couple of times in the podcast with Michelle, for example, and in the podcast in Saint-Marc Primary School. It's difficult to navigate that tensions in spaces with strong institutional culture, like schools, detention centers, and sometimes social services. RP promotes creativity, equity, voluntarism, consent, collaboration, alternatives, and in places where sometimes things have been done the same way for ages in a very hierarchical and automatic way. In that regard, maybe it's easier to implement RP in youth work, for example, where more practitioners explained to me that it was really fitting youth work values and mindsets already focused on the relational and voluntary aspect of the work. It reminded me of a research I came across recently advocating for more bridges between informal and formal education and bringing together teachers and youth workers to co-construct a learning environment. I'll put a link in the description. So by implementing RP, practitioners are creating what we could call maybe a third space or a third way of relating. Maybe it's an expression that is used in other contexts. But yeah, that third space or third way has more specific boundaries. It's not fully home, not only personal. It's not fully work, not only professional or institutional. It extracts itself sometimes from the rule of the institution, and then in return, it can influence or change them. It's really delicate work. And there is a powerful and wonderful message of hope in all this. Practitioners are creating spaces in many different contexts all over Ireland where we can relate, care for each other, learn, grow, heal when necessary, solve problems, and create with the freedom, trust, and acknowledgement and connection we need to be our best selves and fulfill our most meaningful purposes in life. Thank you very much to all involved. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and that they gave you some food for thoughts. And I'm wishing everybody all the best in their restorative practice journey.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our show.